Well, I can't get reception, but the commercials, they come in fine. You can pay to turn them off, I know, but I don't have two dimes. And I saw a statue there, and I don't think it saw me. I was barefoot and bottomed out so comfortably, where the face behind the counter never smiles too much. You get service with a sorry man. This job is driving me nuts. I say, yeah, mine too, but what can we do? I work a loading dock. I get a forklift if I'm lucky. Blisters when I'm not. And I watch the State of the Union address and all this midterm election coverage too. But it just seems like everything that they say never translates into anything that they ever do. But somewhere under a blue moon in Kentucky, aster plume and bourbon mist, up and down and all around this old continent. But who's gonna save us now that we've pledged our soul's allegiance to the fattening of a cow? You know, on the day that JFK was shot, C.S. Lewis and Aldo Huxley died too, playing last words edit Russian roulette up on that book depository roof. Now violence is up on Sesame Street. Fozzie was not found. Old Mother Goose put her neck in a noose and laid her burdens down. Oof, someone feed me some information. I need a data fix, some kind of USB IV that just slits right into my wrist. But I'm getting off of that train though. The next stop I can ride, I go find myself an old guitar and just see what's inside. There's music playing now on a stage inside a bar, and the singer looks out at a bunch of other people just like him, all trying to figure out who we are. So somewhere, anywhere, everywhere, let freedom ring, and may the voices of the people come together and bring about the change that we wish to see. But who's gonna save us now that we've pledged our soul's allegiance to the fattening of a cow? Who would recognize the sun? Ooh, there's work to be done.
Well, welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. What can I say? That's Aaron Kelly. You know, when I signed up to do this show, when they asked me to do it, you know, the thing about this is why I like doing the show is a sense of discovery. And if you can turn people on to something like that, I mean, I'm really glad we're on the air, right, Dan? I mean, that is... That song's beyond your years. So tell us about it. It's from your first solo CD, but man, that is an awesome song.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. I know songwriters talk about it all the time. Some songs, like Tangled Up in Blue, took Dylan 10 years to write, you know? This one just, I had gone to church with my mom on a Sunday, and I go a couple times a year. I'm not particularly religious.
Where's this at?
She's been going to Calvary Temple out in Naperville.
Oh, okay. I grew up in Naperville.
Before it was a megachurch.
Yeah, right.
I went to preschool there when it was over on New York Street. Yeah, and now it's huge, you know?
You should know. I'm usually reeling a lot of musical friends for this, but I don't even know you. But yeah, but I heard the CD. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I go with her every now and then. And this particular service was about the prodigal son, the return of, you know, and the fatted calf and all that. And I'd known the story before, but I had never framed it in terms of kind of the 1% and the wealth at the top and the, you know, wealth inequality in our country right now. And so that's how I looked at it. It was that, you know, when the sun returns, who would even recognize? What are we even, like, saving this for? What are we doing? And so I was thinking about that. And the next day, I was doing dishes or something, and I was using data to stream Pandora, and the music wouldn't come in, but all the commercials were just, you know, flowing in. And that's when I sat down and just 12 stanzas popped out, and that was it.
And how long ago was that moment in church?
That was probably 3 years.
About 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So tell us about your background. I talked to you on the phone a little bit, but you grew up in the South? Somewhere?
No, southwest suburbs. I grew up in Plainfield.
Okay, and I know where that is. And there are a lot of tornadoes there, right?
There's one tornado there. it's Tornado Alley all of a sudden. Yeah, and I was playing wiffle ball in my friend's backyard when that rolled through. And
really?
It sounded like a freight train, yeah. And my mom and I took our bikes down there, and we're there before the emergency responders were even there. That was quite a surreal time. Grew up out there, and actually, my mom, I don't think I told you this, she was in John Prine's graduating class at Proviso East.
Really, yeah. Really?
She had art class with him and said he was the quiet, cute kid. You know, she had a little crush on him. So I started playing music pretty early on, like 8 years old, and put it down for high school, and then picked it back up when I went to college, and picked it back up not just to play guitar, but to match words and music. I had realized that I had a little bit of a knack at that point for stringing words together.
Music and words around the house. I mean, what was it like growing up? Books and music. And
my dad was a big Dylan guy.
Yeah.
His favorite Dylan songs were Desolation Row and Visions of Johanna. So he was in it for the words. And mom had a real good taste in music, too. And I always loved music, but I didn't think to put it together till after high school.
That song you just played had some of that Prine finger picking.
Yeah,
I was telling you,
yeah.
You know, he's real good at that.
He got a real distinct style.
Yeah, yeah. Heavy influences. I mean, you're a big John Prine fan. Mm-hmm. You're Townes Van Zandt. Talk about some of your influences.
Yeah. So I feel like every songwriter kind of sits at the feet of Dylan, and then you kind of go off in your own other direction from there, whatever it might be. And for me, it was the guys who had a real emphasis on poetry and on words, and that was Townes and Guy Clark and John Prine and then Jerry Jeff Walker and those guys.
And solo, this is off your solo record. How can people find that? I mean, people got to get that record.
My name is AaronKelly.com. Yeah, and we play a ton of shows all around the Midwest, and it's on iTunes, and all that. The album is called Barefoot and Bottomed Out, which is a lyric from that song.
From that song,
actually.
Yeah. Now, something I don't know anything about is, you were in a band for 7 years?
Yeah, a band called Overman.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So my creative partner, Matt Radowski, we went to ISU together after high school, after we graduated, and about a year or two later, we started Overman with another guy from high school, and we toured around
Midwest.
Plainfield High School.
Plainfield, okay.
Yeah. So, we took it serious, but we didn't. You know, looking back on it, I would probably cringe listening to some of those early recordings, you know, and we kind of cut our teeth that way. And it wasn't probably till 2009 or 2010 that we were, you know, worth listening to, I would say.
What's it like for a working musician? When you and I did talk on the phone, I'm very impressed. You know, some people say Chicago area has moved to, you know, pay to play. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of gigs coming up.
Most of them aren't in Chicago, though.
But yeah, I'm true. But I mean, I'm really interested. You know, we were talking about Naperville. I grew up in Naperville. Board and Barrel, you said that's a new club. That's February 1st.
Yeah.
You've got a couple gigs there, don't you? Or just February 1st and March 24th.
The February 1st one is solo, and then March 24th I'm there with my band, yeah.
Okay, so talk about, what do you know about that place, actually?
Nothing really. My friend John Till, who was a great instrumentalist and songwriter in his own right out of Bloomington, turned me on to that place. He played there every Thursday in December, and I haven't been there, but the talent they were booking caught my eye. And they're trying to bring, you know, live original music to downtown Naperville, which is something that hasn't been there in the longest time, you know.
The Law Office in Yorkville on February 8th?
Opening for Driving and Crying.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah, the Law Office.
That's, see, I don't even know that place.
That's the place that's been open maybe a year or two now, maybe a year and a half. And they do, that's a really, if you're ever out that way, go to the Law Office, find a show there. It's got a really cool vibe to it, and the owners are amazing people.
The House Pub, St. Charles, February 10th.
Another awesome place, yeah.
You know, we had a food segment last week, and we were talking about, and I'm wondering if this is happening with music. I actually saw a review of Phil Vitale's review of a restaurant in Geneva about rents and stuff getting so expensive in the city, about stuff like this moving out, and you know, maybe the Law Office, it's easier, you know, to have rent and have a
yeah.
music space.
I mean,
it is in Chicago.
That's the edge of the megalopolis, really.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of farm to fork restaurants popping up out there, and with, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with original music, it feels like.
How do you write? I mean, again, in a little bit of the background I was reading, you say digital words don't seem as important as pen to paper. So what is your process?
Yeah, I write on notebooks almost every day.
You do?
And I, you know, I feel like you have to get a lot of garbage out to find stuff that's worth chasing. You know, for every song that I've finished, there's probably 10 that I decide not to go after because it doesn't seem like it's worth anything, you know. But I write every day, yeah, whether it be on my computer or in a notebook, or I have a typewriter too that I use a lot.
You use the typewriter?
What I've started doing recently that I really like is I've been setting up the typewriter at shows next to the merch table and encouraging people to go type on them. And I get some really, really interesting responses on that thing. It's a good way to engage with the crowd, you know. And most people don't type on a typewriter ever.
Ever,
so it's, yeah. They're like, oh, let me try this.
Now, would you use something you saw that they typed in a lyric, in a song or anything? Or is it just a message to you?
No, I would, absolutely. Yeah. There's stuff that interesting in there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
People put on their thinking caps. And, you know, usually it's not the first set that people come over and type on it because they want to probably get a couple drinks in them and think about what they want to type. But, yeah, that's the way it goes.
Do you do covers when people come and see you?
Sometimes. I do some Prine and some Hank and some Todd Schneider. And yeah, but mostly it's 70 or 75% originals, I'd say.
And you chipped in on the last conversation, but you don't shy away from topical material. I mean, talk about Come Home Soon.
Yeah,
people know that song, I think, who are fans of yours.
A little bit, yeah. We had a friend who was over in Iraq for a couple of years, and we got word that he was coming home, and the chorus of that song, that was my response to hearing he was coming home. It was really emotional because it was the first time he'd been home, and you never know if someone's in harm's way over there or not, you know. They might be in the green zone or whatever and be relatively safe, but to us over here, it seems like they're always going to be in harm's way if they're over there.
We were touching on this with Justin, and I was talking about people like, you know, Tom Morello and stuff. But then people's like, I know Springsteen has taken some hits about, like, well, I don't come to a concert to hear political stuff. I come for an escape. And when I reviewed stuff for the Sun Times, I would talk about some of Jackson Browne's political shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And people, well, he's there to entertain. We're not there to hear him lecture us and stuff. How do you feel about that approach?
I leave it up to the artists, whatever they feel like they want to communicate to the audience. That's, you know, I'm fine with whatever. I think it is an artist's place to reflect the nature of the times. Absolutely. And so Come Home Soon was a relatively political song, I guess, but up until the last 2 or 3 years, I hadn't been writing anything that was topical or political because everything seemed like it was all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's not.
Yeah. Can you play a little bit of that?
I've Come Home Soon?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the song is the first part was written from my perspective, and then the second part was what I thought Zach, or any soldier, was feeling over there. So my part is, I read the news in Pakistan. You were in Kuwait. It's made me so damn gullible. The news is all the same every day. Your car is in the driveway. I stop and see your folks, and I drive it just a little bit, so it starts when you get home, and I'll sing, whoa, is a battle zone. My best friend's coming home. Well, this war that drives me crazy, makes you proud to fight. Somewhere in the middle, there's wrong and there is right, right. Well, I hope you sometimes think on me Sunday afternoon. Why are you so far away? I miss you, come home soon, and I'll sing, whoa, is a battle zone. My best friend's coming home, I hope he stays. And that was the friends part. Yeah.
We'll be back with more on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Well, I never was a frat boy in my 7 years at school, but I'd still puff up and say dumb stuff like Shakespeare was a fool. And I never got me a PhD, not an STD or any drinks for free, but I could find my way straight to the floor. Well, it was $6.99 for 30 beers, but all you really needed was 10 to steal a bike or go and get in a fight with some dude who's gonna make you regret it. But I don't regret a lick of it. I learned a little, but I lived a lot. Well, if I could change just one thing, I would have sold a little pot so kids who drop out of school be as wild as you can. Learn to break all the rules and keep an eye on the man, 'cause they'll start keeping score. Oh, I guess I'm not in college anymore.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. That's Aaron Kelly from Barefoot and Bottomed Out. Tell us about that song. Did you say you went to Columbia?
I went to Columbia. I graduated in 06, I guess. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that song came from, really. I think maybe that was one where I just had the chorus, and then I just wrote in about my experiences, you know, going there. Yeah,
I wanted you to do that because we've been playing some kind of topical political stuff,
right?
Stuff, and you do more other types of music.
Yeah, I do. We started recording the new album on January 2nd, and one of the new songs I'm excited about is a straight-up protest song, and I was going to play that, but you're right. Let's get away from that a little bit. It's enough to bring a man down.
Let's just walk out there. So you got some gigs coming out? You got a Wisconsin gig?
Yeah, I'll be in Ripon, Wisconsin on Friday, this upcoming Friday, the 8th, whatever it is, the 19th. And then Minocqua Brewing Company in Minocqua, Wisconsin, up near Boulder Junction on Saturday. I love going up there. I have my friend Jesse and Don, Jesse's family, has a cabin up there, so it's real familiar to me.
So, you don't have any trouble finding venues to play?
No, yeah. Not really. Chicago is kind of a weird city to play music and original, at least Americana music. But anywhere else, no, we've had a really easy time booking both myself solo and as a full band.
Yeah, he was talking, the whole Wells Street, Old Town scene. Well, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
The 60s was really something.
I was asking him about it. I'm so fascinated by that. If I could go back at any point in time, that might be with Steve Goodman and Prine and all those cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Roger Ebert walking around.
Yeah, right. It was something. So you talk about, I kind of coach you, how do you build a bridge between, you say, what good and popular music? That's interesting. That's an interesting concept. What's the difference?
Well, popular music, it seems like it's a little bit dumbed down these days, and there seems to be some kind of a formula that people stick to that isn't necessarily artistically valuable. I want guys like Jason Isbell to be number one stars, you know what I mean? Like, there is good music being made, but it's not stuff that's being played on mainstream radio, and it's not popular in the sense that, you know, the Beatles were in the 60s, or it just seems like it's different nowadays. You have to look harder to find it.
Yeah, things are certainly more fragmented.
Absolutely, yeah.
When you do music to put out there, I mean, do you still find people buying CDs, or is it all online? How do people find, you know, purchase
people
your
music? People buy CDs. It shows. People, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have no trouble selling music. You know, people consume it however they want to, but I have CDs for sale, and I also am on most of the online stores, too. I think you just have to allow yourself to be out there.
And I didn't know you were doing a new album. Talk about the upcoming album, when that'll be out, other things that might be on that record. Where do you record this?
So my previous albums have been done at Uptown Recording in Uptown. And right now we're trying, my guitar player, Matthew Pittman, he's kind of amassed a bunch of different really, really good microphones and recording gear and stuff, and wants to try to see what kind of sound we can get out of his place. And our first couple of sessions were very promising. So we knocked out five songs with just rhythm guitar tracks, and then I'll come in with other musicians and overdub and stuff. But yeah, so there's a song about, you know, it's called "Weep Now, America." A black wind moans. Will those who plant injustice reap what they sow? That's, you know, a protest song. There's two songs about my last relationship. There's a song about the first time I ever got high. And, yeah, so it's kind of all over the place, topically.
We'll have to stay in touch.
Yeah, that'd be great.
People can say they heard you here first when you go on to big things. It's great. Barefoot and Bottomed Out, your first solo record?
That was my first solo record, yeah.
And give us all the information on how people can find you again.
You can find me online at www.mynameisaaronkelly.com. And you can find me in person by going to the site and then coming to a show and hanging out.
It's great, and we're from the kind of the same area, Plainfield, Naperville,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I have to come to that new club. When did that club open up?
Board and Barrel. I don't know. Within the last year.
Within the last year.
That place. I can't speak for that place because I haven't been there. Yeah. But the law office in Yorkville. Go out there.
Go there. Okay.
It's a cool venue. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening tonight. It was engaging. Thank you, Dan Long, for your help, and Aubrey Mumphower. And are we here next week, Dan? I don't think we are. But we're here the week after.
Yeah, you know, I haven't looked at the schedule.
Yeah, but, okay.
Can I say goodnight to Jaden Brenz?
Go ahead.
Goodnight, Jaden. Should be in bed by now, buddy.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you soon.